Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? Coming to you live on the airwaves for this Friday night edition of the DGen Nation podcast. We're talking week 8 main slate with you guys, and we're happy for you guys rocking along with us, whether it be live, whether you're listening back, whether you're trying to, you know, just get us any way that you can. We appreciate that, and we appreciate all the love and support. Let's get it going, guys. Joined by Matty D, Matty DFS, Matty Gets Buckets. At Matty DFS is where you can find him on X and Twitter. And then the Godfather himself, the one and only Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Rat 13 is where you can find him on X and Twitter. I'm Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter and X at Ryan Alexander underscore W. Boys, we got a fun and just flat out juicy week 8 main slate here to talk about with the boys. And I'm so excited that we decided to move this back to a Friday instead of Thursday to let things kind of shape up before the weekend so that we could talk about this slate, because this is by far the most excited that except for week one, because it's week one. But outside of that, this is the most excited that I've been for a slate because of everything that has shaped up last weekend and then heading into this weekend is just absolutely incredible. Boys, how we doing today? Matty, how you doing?
Good. Yeah, this should be a good fun slate. There's a lot of different options and ways you can go to attack this slate, which I think we had last week too. There was you know, a lot of high totals last week. Last week was going to be a fun one, and we were all over it, Ryan. I mean, we said we were stacking up Minnesota Detroit, and I think that was even our Millie team that we made. That was the game you had to have. So
yeah,
we'll see if we can run it back this week.
Yeah, we definitely had it on the Millie team. Just had a couple other things just not break our way, and you know, the Cleveland value that kind of came to light all of a sudden with the Deshaun Watson injury was kind of tilting. But yeah, I mean, we've been on game environments pretty much all season long here over at the DGen Nation podcast. So we appreciate everybody who's been rocking along and riding along the wave with us. Kev, we got a 13 game slate ahead of us here. There's no teams on bye this week. We got a full slate to be able to lock in and get ready to go. There's a lot to talk about, but what are your initial thoughts about this slate, and how are you feeling heading into the weekend?
Yeah, I think I think this slate's interesting because there's not like, so last week we had like these games, like these multiple 50 point, you know, total games. We don't have that this week. Like, there's not that. Like, there's definitely some good game or team totals for the week, but there's no, like, there's not nothing that really stands out as like, oh man, this is like a monster game environment. Now, don't get me wrong, I think there's some good game environments to target on this week. I think we'll definitely talk about a few of them, like the Philadelphia Cincinnati game is definitely one of them. The Dolphins, now we get Tua back, is certainly a spot to look at. So I definitely think there's some spots to target within the slate, but there's nothing that stands out, like, because you can make a case for all of them going wrong. I mean, and really the best total on the slate is actually one I didn't even mention, and that's the Jags and the Packers game that has been bet up all the way to 49.5 points. And both teams actually coming in, you know, with a pretty decent total in that game. But then, you know, after that, you have the Bengals game. And then after that, you have to drop pretty far down to get down to the Seahawks and the Bills, which is a 46.5 point total. So, I mean, I actually thought the Dolphins game would be a little bit higher, but maybe it's still a bit low just because of the Tua news. But either way, like, I still think that this slate, there's still a lot of other spots you can get to. So I think just really looking at this slate as a whole, and I will say, I definitely think this is another week, kind of talked about beforehand, that you should be looking to just play three running backs on your lineups.
Yeah, builds has been an interesting topic of conversation, right, Kev? Because, you know, we saw it at the beginning of the year, like three running back builds, which is just not something that we've been accustomed to from a mindset standpoint in DFS for quite some time. It's been, you know, the renaissance of wide receivers over the past couple of years, which has led to, you know, teams just you just think about playing four wide receivers and then keep it moving because offenses had been so high scoring. And then we start out this year for the first 3-4 weeks of just having really low total games and just very, you know, unimpressing football, so to speak, especially quarterback play. And, you know, even when we get to like talking about wide receivers, boys, like there hasn't been that many blow up wide receiver game spots as well, like 30 points and over. It's only happened a handful of times with guys on the slate. And so, you know, while this is one of the, I mean, first of all, it's a 13 game slate, so we're just by, you know, definition of that going to get more game environments that people are willing to target. There's things that always open up throughout the week. We are, you know, we're going to talk about it when we go through positions, but like the injury report is once again littered. I mean, it's a ridiculous year. It's been a ridiculous season for injuries. I know we say it all the time that it happens every year, but this year especially has just been absolutely egregious of what's been happening to high profile players to open up stuff. And so, yeah, Kev, like with that being said, I think, you know, three running back builds are definitely in play this week. I think that two tight end builds, as we saw last week with Njoku and Bowers kind of getting there for people, both were popular plays. Like that's not one that usually seems enticing, but it might be this week. But as we get into quarterback, boys, and you know, shout out to everybody who's here again, DGen Nation Pod, powered by the Fantasy Authority. We appreciate that. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the channel. Give us a like if you would do so, please. We appreciate that. Discord, we want you guys in there. Link is in the description. Let's get ready to ride and let's get into the slate. And when we talk about the week 8 slate, and you know, Maddie, I always love going to you first just because of the style of play that you operate under. You know, Kev and I are always in the streets. We're willing to throw these bullets out. You know, we're willing to get in. We're already talking about, you know, the plays that we don't want to miss out on. We're just going to, you know, dabble and get some lineups going in that. But you're the single entry guy. You're trying to make three max. You've been three max for a long time. You're playing single entry. You're playing some of the, you know, streets that don't have that many people to play against. So your core is always really defined and really you know, really buttoned up. But when we talk about a slate like this, Maddie, with 13 games, we have the Tampa Bay situation. Okay, that opened up so much value on this slate. We got the Cleveland situation, which opened up so much value on the slate with Jameis starting. And then running backs is just littered with so much talent and so many people that we want to get to. I say all this to say, Maddie, that there are so many different routes that people can go, but time and time again on the show, you've kind of hyped about game environment, targeting the one game. What's the game that you need to have and don't miss out on? And we've seen that. Let's take Detroit last week, for example, right? Like we love that game environment. And it was just like, how can you get Amon-Ra and Jefferson? Like might be the two best plays. Like, don't worry about all the other value. Like, if we get these two guys right, let's play Tim Patrick. We put Tim Patrick in the Millie lineup. Like, Tim Patrick goes out there and scores. Like, this is the type of shit that we deal with on these slates like that. So, like, all of these things lead people in different directions, and it just might not matter if you have the game environment right. So, long-winded way, Maddie, of asking you, how are you viewing the slate through your lens? What are you doing? And you know, what's standing out to you when you talk about the quarterback position?
Yeah, I think this year more than any other year, you know, we really have to continue to expose ourselves to the games that are going to go nuclear. Because as you saw last week, right, when Minnesota and Detroit lapsed the field, if you stack that game, you know, it's such a low scoring slate across the board because no other games are doing what they're doing. And you just have those guys. And so you just automatically are in contention for taking down tournaments. Now, when, you know, when there's games like four or five different games on the slate are going over that 50 total, you know, there's a lot of touchdowns across the board. That's when you don't need to load up on one game, right? You can get pieces from different games, but you know, when we have these lower total games that are occurring, partially due to bad quarterback play, partially due to how defenses are playing today. And, it's just really lending its hand to lower scoring games. And so you really, need to focus on those games that can go back and forth. And I really think that there's only one or two that can do that this week. So that's where I'm going to be focused. I think Cincinnati and Philly is one of them. I mean, that's two really talented offenses on both sides of the ball and two defenses that haven't really played defense over the last couple of years, including this year. So I really like Burrow a ton. Burrow's really easy to stack with. We know it's Chase. We know it's Higgins. It's pretty straightforward there. And I mean, Moss and Chase Brown, you know, haven't really been a thing. You know, yeah, they're involved, but you know, those guys aren't scoring all the touchdowns for Cincinnati. And Philly's pass defense is not great and very, very beatable. Cincinnati's at home. So I really like Cincinnati. I love the Burrow doubles this week. And on the other side, we know that the Philly offense is going to push them all game. I mean, Hurts is good enough to score. He's got AJ Brown healthy. He's got Smitty healthy. Saquon Barkley is obviously, you know, on a warpath this season, continuing to smash week after week. So I trust the Philly offense to put up points this week. And I think Burrow's going to have to throw to win the game. And I think that's one game that can go back and forth. Outside of that, I mean, if you trust Jameis to put up points, I could see Baltimore and Cleveland ending up in a little bit of a shootout. Jameis has never really had issues with putting up points. His issues have come with turning the ball over. So, you know, if you think that he can make that Cleveland offense, you know, at least somewhat competitive, you know, then Baltimore and Lamar and all those guys are obviously in play. And especially if Zay Flowers, like, is he actually ruled out yet? Is that a thing? No.
No, he hasn't been officially. Go ahead, Kev.
He returned to practice today.
Okay, yeah. So he's likely going to play. So, you know, that offense is going to be at full health. So, you know, that's an interesting game. But then outside of that, Buffalo and Seattle, that's the other game that I've got, you know, circled with two talented offenses where we know where the ball's going to go. You know, Seattle's likely without DK Metcalf, but they're, you know, at least they're at home. So they're not in Buffalo with that problem, right? They're at home and, you know, it could lead to more JSN and obviously more Tyler Lockett and more Kenneth Walker. And we know that, you know, the Buffalo run D has been gashed. So if the Seattle offense is having a ton of success on their side of the ball, I mean, Josh Allen with his new weapon, Amari Cooper, they should be able to put up points as well. So it's really Buffalo, Seattle, and it's Cincy, Philly for me are the two games that I'm really focusing on to have my quarterback come from this week.
Yeah, I love that call out. Yeah, we have to keep game environments in mind, and that's been a big thing all year. And I mean, when we're looking at the teams who, you know, are expected to, you know, put up points, I mean, you know, it starts with the usual suspects and teams that aren't really coming in all that popular, at least not being talked about as such, you know, across the industry. Like, we have the Lions implied to score 28 and a half points. We got the Packers implied to score 27 and three quarters points. Ravens, Broncos, who are extremely popular. Bo Nix, I expect to be the most owned quarterback this week just because he's so cheap and what he allows you to get to, 26 points. And then the Texans round out the teams that are expected to score 26 points and above. But you don't hear people talking about Jordan Love stacks. We're not hearing too much about CJ Stroud stacks. And you know, playing Lamar, who's just been incredible and on pace for another MVP season. Kev, I see you raise your hand there when I bring up, you know, some of these other teams, but like where are you getting exposure to, and do they fall into the bucket of teams that Vegas has implied to score, you know, the most points on the slate?
Well, first on, I'm not playing Bo Nix. Like, Bo Nix, I think last I saw,
he's going to be the quarterback. Yeah,
he's strong.
It's just a terrible game environment. Like, yeah, one, the Broncos out. Have the best defense in the league. And anybody thinks that, I mean, I would be floored if Bryce Young, without Deontay Johnson, is going to walk into Denver and be able to keep this game a game. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. And so this, like, I don't even know if Bo Nix will even throw the ball 20 times. And so I just think that it's a terrible play in my mind. I get that he's on the cheaper side. But, like, who are you sacking him with? Who are you playing him with? Like, the game environment's just not there. And if you're truly wanting to pay down for a quarterback, just pay for Jameis. Like at least we know what you can get from him. They have some weapons there in Njoku, Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman. who are all super cheap. The Ravens have been terrible against against opposing quarterbacks, opposing wide receivers this year. You can't run the ball against them whatsoever. And so, like, if you're going to pay down, if that's what you're looking for is a cheap quarterback, just play Jameis. Like,
or Mariota. I'd play Mariota over Knicks.
Yeah, you can do that. We'll see on Jane Daniels, actually. Sounds to be a little bit more promising than what originally was. He actually was able to return to practice today. And then so he's basically a game-time decision now. So we'll have to see on that if Jane Daniels might play in that game. But so the ones you brought up, right? So here's what I'll say. I will say Jordan Love, I think, is one of the best values or best plays on this slate. Like you've already mentioned, they have the second highest applied team total. The Jaguars' defense allowed 285 yards passing and 2.2 touchdowns per game to quarterbacks. Love is averaging 270 passing yards and 3 passing touchdowns per game so far this year. And some other things to look at, the Jags run man coverage at the highest rate in the league. And they have allowed the 7th highest fantasy points per dropback when playing man. And against zone, the Jaguars play cover 2 at the highest rate in the league, and they allow the 4th most fantasy points per dropback at that as well. And I think so the frustrating thing here, I think when people look at Jordan Love is like, well, who do you sack him with, right? Because there's so many different pass catchers. And some of it does make sense. Reed, Wicks, and Dobbs have all seen about an 18% target share this season. So there's no like real standout option here. But I do think if we just peel back the curtains a little bit and look and see how these players have played, like I mentioned, the Jags are a very heavy man defense. And Jaden Reed has actually been horrible against man coverage. He's averaging 0.10 fantasy points per route run, which is one of the lowest rates in the league against man. But Dontavian Wicks has been a baller against man coverage, averaging 0.82 fantasy points per route run. So I do think that Wicks is in play, something that you could look at here as a stacking partner. You can still play Jaden Reed because on the flip side, I mean, they still play zone coverage over 50% of the time. And so, and Jaden Reed has just absolutely destroyed zone coverage this year. So Jordan Love, I definitely think, is in play. Like, the game environment's there. We want to play teams against the Jags. Highest total on the slate. The Jaguars offense is good enough to push the Packers to have to do something here. And so Jordan Love, I definitely think, is in play. And I think that is a game environment that can definitely get there. I will say this about the Cincinnati Bengals game and the Eagles. Now, there's two rules of thought here, because I think on one hand, when you look at this game, you look at these two offenses and the defenses, and you can paint a picture how this game could go nuclear. But I will say that these two teams have been two of the slowest paced teams in the league this year. They have not been very fast paced, so that worries me a little bit with this game environment that it could get there. But I will also say, and you know, these teams have also played the Browns with Sean Watson, and they've also played the Giants, which are two really bad offenses. And I think that skews the numbers a little bit, because we have seen in other games like Cincinnati really struggle, you know, at times their defense has. And so I think some of that can be thrown out a little bit. Same with the Eagles. The Eagles haven't had to do a whole lot on the ground or in terms of their defense. And so I do think that maybe some of that can be skewed a little bit. But I still think that this game environment does worry me a little bit, because if you look at it, so like Joe Burrow, for example, has been pretty solid this year. But I think there's some actually things that actually caught me off guard when I was digging into this game, that while Joe Burrow is averaging 20 fantasy or 20 DK points per game, 251 passing yards and 2 touchdowns per game, he does have 7.78 yards per attempt, which ranks 9th, but his average depth of target is only 25th, and he's not throwing the ball deep at all. He's 29th in deep throw rate this year. Everything has been underneath because of the cover two. But one thing that really stood out to me was T. Higgins has actually seen a higher target share than Ja'Marr Chase this year. T. Higgins seeing a 26% target share compared to only a 20% target share for Ja'Marr Chase. And T. Higgins is actually seeing a 42% first read target share compared to only 25% for Ja'Marr Chase. So it has been drastically in T. Higgins' favor with a lot of this. Now, I will say T. Higgins popped up on the injury report today with a quad. Like, that doesn't worry me as much if it was like a hamstring or something, but we'll see if he's able to play, because if he doesn't, then I think it just leans much more into wanting to play Ja'Marr Chase. But I think if you're wanting to play this game, T. Higgins does make a lot of sense. And then on the other side, with the Jalen Hurts thing, Jalen Hurts hasn't been really good this year. I mean, he's only averaging 219 passing yards per game, only 7 passing touchdowns this year. Now, he does have 4 rushing touchdowns, but he is 27th in red zone pass attempts, so they've been much more comfortable with handing the ball off to Saquon Barkley and not really throwing the ball as much once they get to the red zone, which worries me with Jalen Hurts. And they're also 26th in pace of play, which I talked about here, Now, I will say the Bengals have allowed the fifth most fantasy points to quarterbacks so far. They're allowing 225 passing yards, about 1.5 touchdowns per game. But now, the one upside here is they are allowing the most rushing yards to quarterbacks this year as well for Jalen Hurts. And so, like, I think there's upside here for these guys as well, like, if you're really wanting to pay up to these guys. So I don't hate it at all when it comes to some of these guys are paying for this. But I also think there's scenarios here where this game doesn't really shoot out as much as we think that it does. And maybe there's some other environments. Because one game we've talked about is that we haven't talked about yet is the Dolphins game with the Cardinals coming to town. And you couldn't ask for a better environment when it comes to a returning from his concussion. Because when it comes to this, because, you know, the Cardinals pass defense has been really bad. They've allowed the fifth most DK points to quarterbacks this year. You had the full complement of weapons. And the greatest part about it all is they're cheap. I mean, when have we ever been able to play Tyreek Hill at $7,300 and then, you know, Jalen Waddle is $5,300? It's still very much a funnel when it comes to how much these guys are getting the ball. And so it's Tua $6,200. But this is the question I have for you guys. When it comes to Tua Tagovailoa, it is very rare for him to hit a ceiling game. Like, he doesn't hit it that often. And so over half his games last year, I think he scored under 20 DK points, even though that we saw Tyreek Hill score 25 or more DK points last year in 9 of the 12 games that he played in last year before he got hurt. And I think it was week 14 or 15. So the dude was just putting up monster production, but he just doesn't bring Tua along. Like, Tua has to score 4 or 5 passing touchdowns because you're not getting anything on the ground from Tua. And so, like, I don't know about playing Tua within the stack. Like, I definitely think he probably could have one or two because he could get there. But it seems more likely just to play, like, Tyreek and Achane or something like that.
100% agree.
Versus playing Tua, who's $6,100, because it's just – when you have non-mobile quarterbacks, right, like, it's so much harder. They have to throw 4 or 5 passing touchdowns to really be able to compete with the other guys here. And then lastly, in the same game, do you guys have an interest in Kyler Murray? Because Kyler Murray has been putting up a ton of rushing upside as well. He's only $6,400. And the one thing that I thought was interesting is the Dolphins play cover 3 at one of the highest rates in the league this year. And that has been the best defense for Kyler Murray, where he's averaging like almost 0.8 fantasy points per dropback against cover 3. And so that is something else that I think you look at too with Kyler Murray. But what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Hey, Kev, just Google Call of Duty.
Yeah, it just dropped. Yeah.
Comes out tomorrow, right?
No, it came out today.
Came out today? Yeah. So that's my interest in Kyler.
That's hilarious.
all right, there it is.
No, I mean it makes sense. Kev, the frustrating thing about the Arizona,
I like Connor.
Yeah, I mean Connor, I just feel like is always in play. His workload is just absolutely insane. And Matt, we've talked about him on Island Slates already a lot this year. It's just so infuriating. Like, he has the rushing upside and ability to be able to get there, but it just doesn't always seem to transition as such. And the pieces around him, like, to even single stack him with are just not being priced based on the production that they put in. Like, it's so hard to trust Marvin Harrison at this price. He had his one blow up game where he goes for, 40, and the team scored 40 in that game as well too. It just seems like such a thin and narrow thing that needs to happen in order to get him there. But yeah, I mean, I guess the way to play that, Kev, would be, playing Kyler and maybe Connor, because Connor has such a propensity to get these touchdowns and passing work. And then playing both pieces, playing two pieces on the Miami side, and then not playing a pass catcher with him. Although, we'll talk about tight end, but I guess Trey McBride can potentially make some sense there. But it's just been a hard offense. It's been so expensive to be able to stack them with their production that when I start to do out like multipliers on points needed, it just doesn't seem all that feasible to get to with, especially with the value that's opened up on the slate.
Yeah, I think that makes sense with when it comes to – because really it's really been the offense and the way that they've ran the offense. Like, I've talked to so much – I hate Drew Petzing. Like, he's just – I don't know what he's doing. Like, they're down and they're still trying to run the ball, establish the run and do all this stuff. And it's like, what are we doing? It is 2024. Like, open the offense up, throw the ball. But I get that point as well. And then the other one we haven't really hit on as much, but is Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's been a cheat code. I mean, every single week, the dude is just absolutely mashing 27.6 DK points so far. I mean, the low points, he scored 17 in week two against the Raiders. But other than that, it's 22 and above. I mean, multiple 30-point performances. He's been an absolute cheat code. And actually, the way to play him, which is crazy to think, has actually been stacking him with Derrick Henry. Because when his big games and Derrick Henry's games have come together. So, it's not something you ever would expect. You think that you'd want to play those two together, but you can. That's obviously super expensive. But the only thing I'll say is that Baltimore's matchups, like really so far this year, outside of the first week against the Chiefs defense, hasn't been like who are the good defenses they played? You know, the Raiders, I wouldn't say they have a good defense at all. Dallas, we already know, is terrible. Buffalo, I mean, their pass defense is pretty good, but their run defense is terrible, which we know. Cincinnati, Washington, Tampa. Like, so I will say this, they haven't really faced like a really good defense. And I think Cleveland's defense is above average for sure. So maybe this is not a spot to really get after Lamar Jackson at 8K, but I don't know. It's just hard to get away from how good he's been. Like, he has completely separated himself literally from everybody else, I guess outside of Baker Mayfield, who's averaged 25 DK points, but no shot in playing Baker Mayfield without Chris Godwin or Mike Evans.
No, it's an interesting point, Kevin. I'd love to transition it to running back too, because if there's no T. Higgins for Cincinnati this week, I think that puts me off of that game environment, because I could just see it being more of a slugfest. And, you know, when he's having to rely on Yoshivas and Joe Burrow, that is Joe Burrow having to rely on Andre Yoshivas and Gesicki and all these other guys besides Jamar Chase. Like, I just don't know that game environment sticks out to me as such. But the pieces of that game environment are priced right around what Lamar and Derrick Henry are priced. So you could just say, okay, I'm not getting to Burrow and Chase, who, you know, are priced up. I'm not getting to Hurts and Barkley, who are priced up. I'm just going to take that salary and move it directly to Baltimore, and then get these cheap Cleveland pieces, which are, you know, the prices are insane on them, and be chilling, because they have just they've done so much to just wreck slates. And like, this is a Cleveland team that, like, you know, the best thing that we love for Jamison DFS is that he has the propensity to give the other team the ball and put them into short field. So we could just see them like running up the score here with these two guys, and it just being so profitable. And it's just like one of those spots that, like, they're just coming off of this, you know, they're just coming off of the Monday Night Football game. People are forgetting about how good this offense has been, because there's all these new shiny bright toys who are cheap, who allow you to get to these game environments that aren't Baltimore and Cleveland necessarily. So I love getting to Lamar and Henry this week. And you know, let's talk about the running back situation, because I just feel like this is one of the best running back slates that I could ever remember, like, breaking down with you guys. There's so many running backs in good spots here. We got Saquon and Derrick Henry both at the top, who have just been absolutely incredible this year. And then, oh, right behind them are three other running backs that have been absolutely incredible with their roles, which Kenneth Walker, potentially without DK Metcalf on the field, who's going to get a ton of work. You got Joe Mixon, who, you know, it sucks that he's missed time this year, because he would be right there in the conversation with what Saquon and Derrick Henry are doing, because the way he's been using this offense, and not going to have Nico Collins on the other side with him. And then Alvin Kamara, who comes in with on a Saints team that does nothing but feed him the ball, because he's their best offensive weapon by a mile, and can get that going. And, oh, by the way, we're going to get Jonathan Taylor back this week. And then when you see, like, the running backs there, that doesn't even include, you know, all these other running backs who are in good spots. We got Javonte Williams at 6K going against Carolina. Devon Achane, who you guys have both talked about, at 6,200. Tank Bigsby, potentially with no Travis Etienne, at 6,300. Breece Hall at 7,300 going against the Patriots. Bijan Robinson against the Tampa Bay team that doesn't have their two best wide receivers on the other side. The Detroit running backs, like, the list just goes on and on for these guys who who are popping up. I mean, even if you want to pay down for, you know, the Tampa Bay running back situation, because they're missing two pieces. Like, there's just going to be so I just expect running back ownership to be so flat, except for, you know, potentially Breece Hall, who's coming in, you know, who's been talked about a lot in the industry this week and probably one of the highest projected running backs. But, you know, there's going to be all these other places that people want to go. Maddie, when it comes to running back this week, where's your head taking you, and where are you going with your builds?
Sorry, I was a little distracted. I had off to the other side. The World Series game was on. Freddie just hit a walk-off grand slam.
Oh my God, of course he did.
They intentionally walked Mookie. It was first and second and two outs. They intentionally walked
Mookie. Got Ohtani out?
They got Ohtani out. He popped out. Then they intentionally walked Mookie and put the winning run on second base to pitch to Freddie Freeman, because they had Cortez in the game. And Freddie hit a first pitch grand slam. Anyways, I know this is a football podcast, but that was just an insane moment.
That's incredible.
So I think Breece Hall is totally mispriced at 7,300. I know he's playing New England, but that is just an egregious price for that guy's role. His pass game involvement, his talent, his red zone equity. He with the under the new, you know, coaching regime, he has essentially not come off the field. And there was a lot of Braylon Allen involved in the early weeks of the season, but that has not been the case over the last 2 weeks. It has been the Breece Hall show. He is my number one running back on the week.
Lock him. Just lock him.
I just think he's mispriced. I think 7,300 is egregious. He should be 8,500 with this role. So I really like him. I think another person that's a lock button this week is Devon Achane at 6,200. I think that is just also a egregious misprice. And I think that is because of how they've been playing over the last couple of weeks without Tua. But if you look at weeks one and two, I mean, Achane smashed those 2 weeks. So at 6,200, he's a lock against Arizona. I'm playing Achane. I probably wouldn't even start a team without Hall and Achane, to be honest. Unless you're going to go like Burrow doubles with Ja'Marr Chase. That's the only time I could see coming off Hall is to fit in, you know, a really expensive stack, passing stack. And then outside of those two guys, my number in a close number three would be Kenneth Walker. I think we might see a heavy dose of Walker in this game with DK Metcalf slated to miss. Buffalo has been eviscerated on the ground this year. It is a phenomenal spot for Walker to light up the rushing yards. And he's a guy that can score a couple touchdowns every week. I mean, heck, he caught a touchdown last week. So he can be involved in the pass game, and he might have to be with no DK. So,
right.
You know, he had 8 targets 2 weeks ago, 7 targets in week 5. So, you know, he can be involved in the pass game if they were to get down early. And I actually was not really on Walker, you know, especially for DFS purposes coming into this year, and that's because he historically hasn't shown a ceiling. But I mean, this year, I mean, he scored a 34, he's shown us 23, 21, 22. So he's been pretty consistent in the low 20s, and he did show a game of 33. So definitely a better output than what he had last year, because last year was a lot of like high teens. And so paying like the 7K tag for him was not something I ever wanted to do. So, you know, he's 7,800, which is the reason I have him ranked number three behind those other guys. But
yeah.
I do like Kenneth Walker a good amount this week.
Yeah, he's had a phenomenal role. And like you said, the matchup is just so juicy for him, Maddie. I mean, he goes out and puts up that performance coming off of the flu. Like, we didn't even know if he was going to be in the game. People were planning their lineups for Zach Charbonnet last week and you know, on Saturday going into Sunday. And then we get the, you know, 10:30 inactives come out Central Time. And he ends up being, you know, a key piece to the slate. So he's been incredible. I agree with you, Maddie. Like, with Zach Charbonnet being there, I thought it'd be more of, you know, at least a 60-40 type of share, but he's just been leaps and bounds, you know, the man and the cog in this offense. And, you know, the other interesting thing is that we had Geno Smith last week throw for 2 touchdowns for the first time all season. He hasn't been really able to, you know, find the end zone. It's been all through the running backs necessarily. So You know, just the propensity of his red zone role has to get him in the conversation as well, too. Kev, I can't believe I glossed over, you know, J.K. Dobbins coming in at 6,900, which is so nice, as always. But, you know, I expect he was going to be one of the more popular plays on the slate, probably still ends up being so against the Saints team that, you know, just can't really get anything going on either side of the football. We've seen, you know, the propensity for L.A. to get Dobbins involved, but it kind of has been scaled back over the past couple of weeks. And, you know, just coming off of a Monday night kind of, I don't want to say clunker, but, you know, definitely a disappointment for people who played the two game slate, and he ended up being the most popular player and didn't quite get there. So where are you coming at with running back this week with all the options that are out there at nauseam? Where are you nailing down your core to?
Yeah, I mean, I play with Curry. I'm not going to – I mean, with Breece Hall, like you mentioned, he's basically playing like 86% of the snaps. Braylon Allen has been absolutely neutered at this point with Todd Downing taking over as the offensive coordinator. So in $7,300, as soon as I saw that, I was like, what are we doing right now?
Yeah. Hall and the Dolphins, those two prices are just egregious.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I guess they played the late game and maybe they already had the pricing set and everything when this happened. But like, to me, it's just like, it's just wild to me because I actually feel like pricing is pretty tight overall, like for the slates, but there's these pockets that we're seeing of like, what the fuck? Like, so, cause when I saw that, I'm like, yeah, he's probably going to be rostered in like 40% of leagues, especially like single entry stuff. He's probably gonna be rostered higher, but I think he's good chalk. Like there's bad chalk, you know, and there's good chalk. And I think he's good chalk for the week. But I think in terms of the other running backs, like, you know, we continually have done the show and we continually do not talk about the guy who's absolutely smashed since coming back from injury. And that's Joe Mixon against Indy. I feel like he hasn't really gotten, like even last week, he wasn't really talked about all that much. Are we for the most part? And like I said, he's been phenomenal. He's averaging 22, almost 23 DK points per game. He's currently handling 62% of the rush attempts. However, the only drawback with him is he's not really handling much in the passing game, only 38% of he's only running a route on 38% of dropbacks, but he is seeing a decent 11% target share. That's not terrible so far this year, but I mean, he's seeing like 25 plus touches a game. This is a good matchup. The Colts defense allows the third most rushing yards, the 12th most DK points. And, you know, this is a matchup. We've already seen this once where Mixon racked up 178 total yards and a touchdown. And so I think when you look at Mixon, like he should be definitely in your pool of players you're looking at playing at this week at home at 7,700. He's around the same price as these other dudes. And so, like, I think Joe Mixon is a really good play. You know, I don't need to go too much further on Devon Achan. We already saw the first two games with Tua where he scored 23 and 29 in both those games. And this is a Cardinals defense that is allowed 25.9 DK points per game, which is the eighth highest rate in the league. So just a really good spot for Devon Achan, extremely too cheap at 6,200. I think some of the other ones, like DeAndre Swift, I think is somebody you could take a look at here against the Commanders. Ugh. You know, after not eclipsing 8 DK points through his first three games, he has now scored 20 or more DK points in 3 straight games. He's also averaging 18 carries, 4.3 targets, and 134 total yards, and a touchdown per game over that span. I mean, that is workhorse type back type workload right there that DeAndre Swift is seeing. And so I get it. Like, you know, the way he started, but it's hard to also surpass a running back that is $6,200 that is seeing this type of workload. I mean, he's seeing 20 plus touches per game and he's been making the most of it. And this is a good matchup against a Commanders defense that may not have Jaden Daniels on the other side of it to where you can really pound the rock if you really want to the entire game. But they're allowing the 6th most rushing yards, the 7th most touchdowns, and the 13th most DK points to running back so far this year. So DeAndre Swift, who is way too cheap at 6,200. Kareem Hunt is way too cheap for the role that he's currently seeing right now. Since week 4, since taking over, he's averaging 21 carries, 2 targets, and 95 total yards, and a score per game, and 17.1 DK points per game. Now, he hasn't really been that efficient, but still, this is a great matchup against a Raiders team that is absolutely destroyed right now. We're going back to Gardner Minshew. No Devontae Adams, obviously. They got traded away. Jacoby Myers doesn't look like he may not play. If he doesn't play, I mean, this is just a team that's absolutely wrecked. Their defense is terrible. And so this feels like a game where Kareem Hunt could see a lot of workload here to a defense that allows the sixth most DK points position. And Kareem Hunt is is way too cheap for the role that he currently has right now. And so I definitely think he's in play. Javonte Williams is another running back we could definitely take a look at here.
He's going to be insanely chalk.
Insane.
Well, I mean, but the role he's seeing right now is incredible. He's finally getting the touches, the workload. He's seeing almost a 16% target share over the last month of the season. He's also over the last month handling almost 65% of the touches from this backfield. And you're facing a defense that has been absolutely dreadful against running backs, allowing the most rushing yards, touchdowns, and DK points. They've allowed 13 rushing touchdowns this year so far. So, I mean, it's hard not to love this. And like I've said, I mean, over the last guy, and he's really started to show something over the last 2 weeks. He's averaging, 111 total yards on 17 touches. So it's hard not to love Javonte Williams. Now, he's going to be expensive, but you know what? If you don't want to play him, there's all these other running backs that are right around him. So, but the spot is definitely good as well. And so I think, but honestly, there's no pay down running backs that I want to play. Anybody below 6K, I don't really have any interest of playing them. Nobody stands out to me right now as a running back that you can even possibly have interest in. Like maybe Chase Brown, but they split the ball so much, and the Eagles have actually been really good against running backs this year. Rashad White, if you think that he's going to continue to see the same sort of pass catching uses, but that's been kind of a three-headed monster. You know, everybody else, like I'm not playing Alexander Mattis. I know he's the starting running back. I know he's seeing a lot of touches, within that backfield right now. But the Chiefs have been absolutely elite against running backs this year. They have shut down every single running back that they have faced. That includes Derrick Henry. That includes Bijan Robinson. Like, no running back has done anything against them, and I'm not expecting Alexander Mattis to start it. So there's no pay down options at running back. And so I think that leads you to wide receiver. I guess the question is like, if we're wanting to pay for all these like more pay up options at running back, how do you fit in these higher priced wide receivers?
I actually think there's a good amount of wide receiver value.
Oh, there's a lot, and we can talk about it when we get over to wide receiver. But I'm just saying, if you're wanting to pay some of the higher price guys, like how are you going to get there if you want to pay up for all these running backs? Because I don't want to play a running back below 6K.
No, I agree. I wouldn't play a running back below 6K.
Yeah, I mean you're able to do it, Kev, because of the missed prices for some of these other players. I mean, even if you play if you play Tyreek, at 7K, if you pay cheap tight end, cheap flex, running backs that are in the 6K to 7K range, like it can be done. Especially like you can, maybe you play Jameis at quarterback too, and then you're able to get like two high priced wide receivers with value on Cleveland and the running backs and two, it's possible for sure.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're wanting to play like Jamar Chase, AJ Brown, like some of those guys, those guys are 85 and 8,200.
That's what I'm saying. Though.
Like last week, there was zero value. Like there was nobody, right? Yeah. We got cucked with the Deebo Samuel that was all of a sudden out. Whatever, nobody knew it. The Jordan Whittington was out when nobody knew it. Juju Smith-Schuster played like a play and then was out. Like so, there was a lot of like just big landmines. But this week, there was a ton of value at wide receiver. But I also think that is that where everybody's gonna go? Is everybody's gonna pay up for running back? And then everybody's just going to pay down a wide receiver. Is that what you guys think people are going to do?
No. And that's what makes this week so great, Kev, is for guys like us, especially Kev, and even for Maddie to a certain extent, who plays, limited lineups, you have so many people who get take locked into positions all week long. So many people are looking at it and be like, I can't, how can I not play Javonte at 6K? How can I, I got to have a Tampa Bay, piece. Remember Mike Evans and Chris Godwin aren't there. There's so many ways that people start to build lineups all the way through the week, which makes Sunday so fun, especially when we have these inactives that come out, within 90 minutes to get the slate, because people get take locked. And so because there's so many different paths, I think that people are going to get take locked on the earlier guys and, forget about the fact that you can actually pay, for running backs if you go this way. Forget about we can actually get to Lamar because of value instead of trying to chase something else. There's so many fun ways to be able to do it.
There's also ways, we'll talk about it here in a second with the receiver, and I guess it's a good segue, but there's also ways you can be different with your value pieces, right? What I'm currently seeing for ownership has Jalen McMillan as one of the highest, owned wide receivers.
That's what I'm saying.
Rightfully so. I mean, he's a good rookie receiver, you know, that's, you know, pretty talented, that's being thrust into a new role. But, you know, guy from his same team, Trey Palmer, right? What if Trey Palmer's the number one? We don't know what that's going to look like, right? Yeah. And Trey Palmer's coming in, you know, he's currently projected at 12%, whereas McMillan's 23%. So
what about Sterling Shepard?
And Shepard's, what was Shepard? Shepard's at 9%. So, you know, you can play one of Shepard or Trey Palmer. And how many people are going to play one of those guys with Cade Otton at the same time? Yes, I know Cade Otton is going to be, you know, 45, 50% owned, but it's like, you know, tight end is abysmal. And that's the one position where, you know, you can kind of just eat chalk and live with it. But it's like, how many guys are going to play Otton with Trey Palmer, right? You're all of a sudden you're unique, but you're still paying down at that receiver spot. And you're getting leverage off of like a Jalen McMillan build where if he's not the guy and if it's Palmer, you know, Palmer can get you 20 points. I mean, Baker's shown that he's good. And they're playing, it's not like they're playing a tough defense, right? I mean, they're playing Atlanta at home. Like, right. So, you know, there is paths, and we didn't even talk about Baker, but that's because he's priced up. But I mean, Baker doubles. Like,
I mean, that's
the pass catchers are free. Otten's 3,600. Palmer's 3,500. Like, that's 7K for two pass catchers. And if Baker throws for 300 and two touchdowns, three touchdowns, which is 100% possible against Atlanta's defense. You know, I just think that there are ways you can get different. And I think the Trey Palmer and Sterling Shepard are two of them. We may get Yoshivas as a top value if T. Higgins were to miss. Heck, you can play him anyways. But, you know, if you're playing Burrow, and that's a way you can get to Ja'Marr Chase, right? Like if you play Trey Palmer and Yoshivas with Burrow and throw in Chase, now all of a sudden you've got a ton of value and, you know, you're able to fit a bunch of these high-priced guys. So I think there's that doesn't even talk about the Cleveland Brown guys either. You know, Cedric Tillman, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy. I mean, those guys are all in play with Jameis Winston at quarterback. I mean, he's going to chuck it. He's going to sling it. And how many times have we seen Jeudy get open on film, right? And it's like whether he dropped a pass or you know, his quarterback just didn't throw the ball to him. That was the case in Denver as well. And I mean, he had a good week one and since then just kind of been MIA. But I mean, the Browns went like 27 straight drives of three of not converting on third downs or something like that. So, you know, they just were horrible. And Winston comes in and immediately throws a touchdown. So, you know, I do think that they're going to have to throw in that game. But two, I think they're going to be a little bit more competent on offense. Even if Winston does turn the ball over, they still should score. So I think the Cleveland guys are in consideration as well. So there are some cheap spots that we can go.
Yeah, no, man, you're hitting on it at wide receiver. Like Jerry Jeudy is one of my favorite plays, I think, on the slate this week. I mean, he's 4,800, but like his profile, and I'm not a guy who's in the weeds on the analytics and things like that, but just from watching him play over time, like this guy's profile fits exactly with what Jameis wants to do. Like he's going to get so many deep looks and shots, especially against this Baltimore team that we keep talking about, Maddie. Like we have to keep continuing to attack this Baltimore defense. Like they are absolutely abysmal. They beat themselves every week. They commit penalties. They're getting PI, but they're also getting beat bad. The secondary is getting beat bad by explosive plays. And so to be able to get these guys, and I think people, you know, start to chase, you know, like Cedric Tillman, who I don't think is a bad play necessarily, but like he had a rapport with DTR. Like they were, I believe, college teammates, right? And so like those type of things start to manifest themselves, and like that could be why we saw Cedric Tillman get so much work, because they, for whatever reason, wanted to give Thomas Robinson some run last week.
High school teammates.
Okay. But yeah, they had a rapport before. And then we could see Jeudy come in and just absolutely explode. So I love, I mean, I'm talking myself into a Baltimore and Cleveland stack, you know, just anyway with Lamar or with Jameis, because I just love that game environment. But yeah, there's so much value there. Love the call out with the Tampa Bay guys. You know, again, one team who does have a college connection is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, Sterling Shepard and Baker Mayfield, both playing at OU together. And like, they, you know, there's a reason why Sterling Shepard's on the team. Like, that could come to fruition over the McMillan chalk that you alluded to, Maddie, and love getting leverage on him or Palmer, because that's fun. I mean, you know, there's so many ways that things can go. You know, Kev, I'm curious to hear where your head's at, because, you know, you kind of talked about Jordan Love, and, you know, last week I talked about playing Jordan Love if we could get one or two of those guys ruled out. Didn't want to play him if nobody was ruled out, and that, lo and behold, he goes out there and is still able to do the magic with some of these guys. If you're able to get the correct guy, like, it could pay off. And Romeo Doubs, who comes in at, I believe, 5,200 this week, or maybe he's priced up now. Yeah, 5,700. You know, he's definitely carved out a role since he's been, you know, put on his little, you know, his little time out and, you know, had to have that suspension or whatever, but he's had a role and been able to carve that out for himself. So I think he's interesting. You know, we got a new guy in KC who you could talk about, but I think this is the first slate where we've actually had some decent mid-range value at wide receiver, which makes it really fun to be able to talk about, you know, those running backs that you were alluding to, Kev, to be able to pay up for, because these guys priced in the, you know, low 6K and 5K range are absolutely appetizing. So where's your head at, Kev, for wide receiver this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've talked about a couple of these guys already, but if T. Higgins plays, I'm going to be in on T. Higgins. I think he's cheaper. I just talked about some of the stuff with him earlier that's about how much more he's seeing volume compared to Ja'Marr Chase. I was actually surprised when I saw that, especially the first three target share of 42%. So I do like Higgins if he plays. I think Dontavian Wicks, who continues just to rack up touchdowns, but he's also, like I've said, like, he actually over the last 4 weeks has the highest target share on the team. He has 19% target share. So he's continually see targets, even though that he has struggled to catch them at times, but they still are hitting him with targets. Schematically, this is a better matchup for him. So I do think that where other people will probably go to Romeo Doubs because of what Romeo Doubs has done now, but Romeo Doubs is now 5,700. Romeo Doubs isn't cheap like he used to be. And so you're having to kind of make that decision when it comes to that. But if you're wanting to, you know, play a Packer wide receiver, I think it is Dontavian Wicks. I think in terms of the pay up options, I'm not really excited to play Amon-Ra St. Brown at all. I think AJ Brown, I think, is definitely always going to be in play. I think it's more advertising with somebody like Dallas Goedert, who's already been ruled out. I think it makes a little bit more sense. But honestly, I think a lot of the better wide receiver plays this week, like, especially because it sounds like DK Metcalf's not going to play. So, like, how do you view JSN? Because JSN, like, I think a lot of people thought with JSN that he was going to be utilized differently with a new offensive system, but he really hasn't. He's still just running a lot of underneath routes. I don't know how they're going to utilize him now if DK Metcalf's out, because DK Metcalf has kind of been the engine to that offense, especially their passing offense. And so you take him away,
right?
Like, it becomes a little less. And honestly, the way you attack the Bills is through the slot.
And on the ground.
But, like, their outside corners have done a really good job of shutting players down. And so if that moves JSN to the outside, like, it becomes a little bit not as great. Maybe you look to play like a Tyler Lockett instead, who can always beat you deep as well. But, like, wide receiver is not like a super sexy position this week of like, oh man, there's this great play and this great play. And so that's outside of really the Tyreek play, right? Because
he's a lock.
I don't care if he's going to be 60%.
Nope, I don't care.
Like you have to play.
He's scoring 40 points.
Yeah.
It's such a misprice.
It's crazy.
It's just, how do you not play him? Even if he was 8K, it would be a misprice because of what we've seen this production with Tua in years past. It's just absolutely, it's very infuriating because you can't get away from him.
Yeah. And I actually, at first I wasn't really going to do it, but now I'm starting to get a little bit more excited with DeAndre Hopkins, because DeAndre Hopkins got obviously traded to the Chiefs. He's $4,900, and it sounds like, I mean, he's going to play this week. Andy Reid already said he's going to, and the one thing that I figured was going to happen, I wish he didn't say it, but just because I was hoping to kind of attack this is that he's going to play the Rishi Rice role, like, or the Juju Smith-Schuster role or whatever. It's all the same. He's going to be doing a ton of underneath crossers, and that is the most lucrative role within that offense. And so even if we're not necessarily as excited to play the Chiefs, like Patrick Mahomes, stuff like that, DeAndre Hopkins at $4,900 is going to be an easy play, I think, at cost, because I just the matchup and the role that they're going to have him play in, I think, is one that is going to be where, like we saw with Juju Smith-Schuster, out of nowhere, just the ghost of him scoring $4,900 or scoring, you know, the seven catches, 130 game that he had. I definitely think DeAndre Hopkins could do something like that. And then to your point, Ryan, on Jerry Jeudy, who I don't love, when Jameis came into the game there in the fourth quarter, whenever he finally got in, he targeted Jerry Jeudy on three of his first passes was all to Jerry Jeudy. And so now he didn't do anything with it. He didn't catch any of them, but he was the guy he was looking for. And so I do think Jerry Jeudy at $4,800, I think a lot of people are going to want to get to Cedric Tillman because of the game he's coming off of. And I do agree. I think Jeudy might be a good play and a great matchup against Baltimore, who has struggled all year against pass catchers. So maybe I don't mind that call either there on that one. And then the other one, if we think Cleveland can push them at all, Rashad Bateman is a great play too at $4,300. Like that, every time that they've really thrown the ball and had to open up the offense, Rashad Bateman has got there. And he's scored double-digit DK points in four of his last five games. And so he's only $4,300. Like, he feels like he should be in the 5K range, and he's not. So I feel like that is another, I think, value pocket that you could probably look at as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's absolutely littered. I mean, it's littered this week when you get 6K and below at the wide receiver position with guys who stand out. And yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, yeah, if I'm playing, I'd much rather play, you know, Bateman, and of course, on the teams where I'm playing Lamar, than, you know, on the reverse side with Jameis, because I'll probably just play Derrick Henry and maybe Zay Flowers, because he just has a propensity to just rack up so many yards, which is just painful, you know, thinking about that Monday night slate. But I digress. It's a fun one, boys. So if you had to, like, we're gonna have cheap pass catchers from Cleveland, we're gonna have cheap pass catchers from Tampa Bay. Are you more apt to go in one direction or the other? And honestly, like, I don't think it factors in, but just for the sake of conversation here, the cheap Denver guys as well too, I think people are going to play just because their Knicks is expected to be popular. Do we get people on Troy Franklin, like a Devon Vele, Cortland Sutton, even, like, you know, how do those three situations rank for you guys when you're, you know, targeting lineups? If you have to go to cheap, you know, cheap wide receiver, where are you looking to plug in from first?
Well, I think with the cheap guys, they're going to be more volatile than the studs, right? So when that's the case, you know, we don't really know which one's going to hit. You know, there will be one or two of them that are like, okay, you know, that guy made sense. And, you know, I'm not surprised that guy hit, right?
Yeah.
We don't know who that's going to be. So you just take the chance and play the whoever's showing up as lower owned of that group of whoever you're interested in, which for me is currently the $2 guys. That would be Palmer and Sterling Shepard.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I think when you look at that environment, and being Jalen McMillan being the most popular of them, I think is silly because we have no clue how this is going to play out. I think everybody's expecting for Jalen McMillan to go into the slot because he did so at Washington, because that's the role he played at Washington. He was a big slot wide receiver. But if you look at the numbers outside of Chris Godwin, Sterling Shepard has played 40% of the snaps from the slot, and McMillan's only played like 24% of the snaps from the slot, and Trey Palmer's at like 28% or something like that as well. So I am not expecting Sterling Shepard to get bumped to the outside. Like, I think Sterling Shepard still plays the slot, and I think Jalen McMillan gets put on the outside. And so, like, I don't know why people are so overconfident with Jalen McMillan to think that he should be this big of a difference between, what is it, like you said, 40% for McMillan and only like 9% for Shepard. Like, it shouldn't be that big of a difference or that big of a discrepancy, because I definitely think he could go the other direction where it's Sterling Shepard that sees the most targets and sees the most opportunities. But I also think this game could also be kind of gross and not be as like, I think people are viewing this as like it was the last time this game played out, where it was this explosion of points. It was a Thursday night game. And, but everything's different now. You don't have Chris Godwin, you don't have Mike Evans here. And so I don't know if the Falcons feel the need to throw the ball that much. And so I could see them running with Bijan and Tyler Algier. And you're seeing the Bucs try to do the same thing and try to hide some of the stuff that they have. And so I don't know if this is the spot to even target at all. But if I'm going to target anything, just go with the cheapest option, because all of these guys, like you mentioned, is volatile. And Sterling Shepard, I think has just as much of a chance to be that guy that Jalen McMillan does. And they're $100 difference. They're one's $3,700, the other's $3,800. So there's not even that big of a money point separating those two. And so I just find it ridiculous that Jalen McMillan is 30 or 30, is that highly owned, whenever I don't think there's any clear path of how this situation is going to play out.
Yeah, I mean, there's unknown there in Tampa, and there's unknown in Cleveland, right? I mean, it's a new quarterback, a new set of receivers without Amari Cooper. Like, it's both situations, like, there's upside, you know. Sure, both scenarios could fail. I mean, Cleveland could be shut out by Baltimore, and Tampa Bay might not score, you know, a ton of points against Atlanta. But I think it's more likely that those two teams do put up a little bit of points. So, again, it's just going to be an ownership thing for me, you know, because we have no idea who it's going to be from either of those teams. But those would be the two teams that I would target, as opposed to the Denver guys. I'm not playing any Denver guys outside of Javonte Williams this week, when they're all going to be that popular, especially with Bo Nix, as you know, because if Bo Nix is popular, you just want him to not do anything. You want him to throw for 97 yards and a touchdown, right? And that's it. He's doing that, you know, Javonte Williams probably having a big game or something, or the defense is you know, has two pick sixes, or you know, punt return for a touchdown, which absolutely could happen too. So you know, weird things can happen in that Denver game. So that's just the one game, you know, if you made me pick somebody, it'd probably be Franklin, but I'm not going there.
Yeah. I'll actually be rooting for Nix to get there on rushing, because I doubt that people play him naked. I expect they'll play him with at least one pass catcher, or play him and Javonte together. And just hope that Bo Nix just gets, you know, the rushing touchdowns himself. I think him and Javonte have like 85% or something like that of the rushing touchdown work for Denver. So like, you know, people play them together and just be like, all right, I hope to get all the touchdowns in this offense. But like, yeah, if Nix gets, you know, 28 points or whatever, but he has two rushing touchdowns, and you know, nobody else is putting, you know, up work that makes a difference, like I'll be cool with that.
One other spot that I guess we haven't talked about like at all. But is there any interest in Davante Adams?
No.
Who's $7,100. The Patriots pass defense has not been very good. Like, it is definitely one you can exploit. I mean, we just saw Trevor Lawrence have a really solid comeback against them. But I just look at Davante Adams, who's barely 7K, saw 9 targets in his first game now in a much harder matchup against Pittsburgh. But I don't know. Like, I was just looking at that spot and like, I could see Davante Adams seeing 12 targets. Like, and you also have Alan Lazard, who's not going to play. So in terms of just like, I feel like it could be a very concentrated target share between him and Garrett Wilson, but I don't know. Like, they're not super expensive, but like, I mean, we know Davante Adams could score you 30 points. And so like, he's kind of I think that would be super low owned just to get a little bit different.
Who's expected on Gonzalez, Kev? Or who's Gonzalez expected to cover? Matchup wise,
well, Adams can go to the slot, which I don't know that Gonzalez follows the slot,
because that's where I like where your head's at, Kev, because I do. I mean, Breece is going to be the most popular play on the slate, I feel like, especially of the high level guys. And this is a spot where, you know, I mean, the Jets need to get something going. Things have been struggled. Like, Adams is new to the team. Like, I get where your head's at, Kevin. I don't actually mind that as a pivot off of Breece. because I could see Rodgers just trying to force feed some work here in a matchup that, like, let's be honest, like New England has been giving up, you know, points in bunches to the teams that they've, you know, been facing against. This is supposed to be a get right spot for everybody when you see them on the calendar. So we could see that going, but I would want to target the guy that Gonzalez wasn't going to see.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was, you know, like a leverage play, something like that. And like $7,100 isn't that crazy. The Patriots, they've allowed the 10th most DK points to wide receivers. Like, it's not a bad spot, you know. So
yeah, I would only target it in some high field or large field tournament exposure to get off of Breece. I wouldn't do it on single entry or even three max. But yeah, I think the leverage play there, or the pivot play to getting to that guy based off of where the touchdowns are going, and that offense is great. Before we get to tight ends too, I just wanted to bring this guy up because we haven't been able to talk about him in quite some time. He's been on two London slates back to back, but Brian Thomas Jr. has absolutely been incredible. I mean, you know, this wide receiver class just continues to, you know, look great, and he's been, you know, a standout of that class and really been putting it on the map as of recently because the neighbors missing with the concussions. But you know, he's 6,400 in a home game against Green Bay. Green Bay defense is, you know, they've actually allowed some points as well, but they've been very opportunistic in things of that nature. But I expect Jacksonville to have to throw and put in work here. He's $6,400. I just, you know, want to bring him up because he's been incredible, has over 22 DK points in three games this year already. And we'll be in a matchup where I expect Jacksonville to have to throw. So would not surprise me to see this guy put up a big game as well. Let's talk tight ends, boys. Tight end is maybe a little bit more digestible this week than it has been in weeks past. We do get Njoku priced up. He's your fourth highest tight end on the slate at 5,100. I mean, it makes sense based on what he was able to do last week, and I don't expect that to change with Jameis, even though he saw, you know, a lot of that work come to fruition with two quarterbacks there. But he's been absolutely stellar. McBride, we kind of talked about earlier, but he, you know, it's been tough to try and get there with him, but going against Miami, that could be some interesting correlation there for mini stacks. Kelce and Bowers are at the top, and we know what Bowers has been doing. We'll see if Kelce, you know, can get going against the Raiders. Kev, this is like his matchup, right? Like every year, the Raiders, Kelce usually is able to put up some numbers against them. So always curious to see what he comes in at, especially ownership wise. When we're talking about the mid-range here, you know, there are some things that do stand out. Mark Andrews all of a sudden has come, you know, out of the woodworks to be able to score three touchdowns in the past four games, I believe it is, or maybe it's three touchdowns in the past two games. He's hit his stride. You know, I've been targeting Dalton Schultz a lot since Nico Collins has been out, and you know, he's 4,100. He hasn't it's been disappointing to say the least, because he hasn't found the end zone, but I think it will come. And that's a Houston Indy game that I have somewhat interest in many. So get there with him. Kate Otten is going to be the chalk of the week. He's 3,500. There's going to be some other interesting guys. I feel like in this range, there's no Deontay Johnson for Carolina. He's already been ruled out. Don't know about Adam Thielen coming back, but he could be activated. But Jatavion Sanders against Denver, he's 3,100. I expect him to get some love as well, too, as he's been coming on strong. The guy that I wanted to highlight here at tight end, which seems weird, but this offense has just been so anemic that I think they need some help to get going. Taysom Hill is going to be back this week. He's 3,900. And we know that he's been utilized in a ton of different ways before, whether it be throwing the ball, catching the ball, running the ball, having a red zone role. And this guy just always seemed to find the end zone, you know, when he's out there and playing, because they use him in such a variety of ways. So he's just an interesting one that I wanted to call out because, you know, I think this New Orleans team is going to need offense from somewhere. And this has been a gross position for the most part all year. So he could be interesting. You know, funny, as we talk about mispricing here on DraftKings, you have a mispricing on the other side as well, too, with Dalton Kincaid. We don't get that luxury here on DraftKings, but he's the minimum price on another popular fantasy site this week. So it's not just DraftKings who hasn't been pricing players appropriately. It happens everywhere. Maddie, where's your head at with tight end this week? How are you feeling about the position?
It's hard not to just click Kate Otten and move on. I mean, tight end is just so gross week in and week out, right? That, like, even if Kate Otten gets you 6 points, I mean, does it kill you? You know, but he's like the one guy that where it's like, okay, he probably projects more likely to get 12 than anybody else on the slate. That's, you know, in that price range. It saves you some salary to get you the running backs and receivers that we talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Yeah. Kelce, Bowers in a vacuum, right? I would pick those guys over Otten every time, but we're obviously playing a salary game here. And so it's like, if he's going to project similar to those guys anyways, like, it's like, I'll save the 2K salary and just play him. I mean, I guess the one guy that could compete with him in terms of, you know, being a salary saver would be the return of Mark Andrews, who we've seen come to life over the last 2 weeks, you know, 15 and 20 points on a offense that's going to score touchdowns. You know, he's 4K. I mean, we know the Ravens are going to put up points, and if we think Jameis can do it on the other side a little bit, I mean, Andrews in a Cleveland piece, I mean, I really like that idea of a mini stack. Like Andrews and Judy, you know, like that's a fun mini stack there. It's like, you know, Otten's going to be 40% owned. So, I mean, if he gets you 10 and he doesn't kill you, maybe Andrews gets you 20 again and scores twice. So, like, I mean, there's definitely ways you can go, but it's hard not to like Kate Otten. But I do like Mark Andrews and Njoku as well.
I'm going to have zero Kate Otten. Like, Kate Otten, like, has never been, like, a good tight end. Like, you know, like, yeah, he's always been so mid.
You don't have to be good to catch passes.
But see, here's the thing. Like, but this is where I disagree with you this week. Yeah. This is a phenomenal tight end week. Like, there are so many, like, there's four or five tight ends that I love this week. Love this week. Brock Bowers, for Kate one, like, is just an easy play. Like, such an easy play. The one, the Chiefs, if you beat the Chiefs anywhere, it is with the tight end. The Chiefs are terrible against tight ends. Keep talking about it.
I agree.
Brock Bowers has seen double digit targets in three straight games. Like, he is seeing wide receiver one, and he's 6,100. Like, he is mispriced. That
quarterback,
like, he
should be so priced bad.
Like, oh, he's 3K more.
Kelce, right? Yes. But his chance of hitting 30 is.
Oh yeah, well, it exists. Otten can't hit 30. Bowers can.
But I think his chance of hitting 30 is higher than Kate Otten's chance of hitting like 15, right? And I get it, he's 35.
No chance.
I don't know about that.
No chance, Kev.
No, I would disagree with that.
We are grossly misplaying how good we think Kate Otten is. Like,
it's not even that, Kev. It's really not even that. You have a situation where the two primary pass catchers are out. Look at what they just had. They just schemed him looks last week as soon as those guys were out, like, just easily. And
what if Otten plays the quote unquote Godwin role, the middle of the field, you know, just the safe pass catcher?
Even then, Maddie, it's like, what if he just plays the fucking Otten role? And like, Liam Cohen actually has come out and said that they're actually not going to run 11 personnel as much. They're probably going to be running 12, or they're going to have two backs out there because their backs are actually, you know, prolific. And so right there, we're already able to cancel out one of the potential options for wide receiver, because there's not going to be three wide receivers on the field as much as the field wants to think that there is going to be. And so Otten's not coming off of the field, and he's 3,500, Kev. Like, he doesn't need to do dick to be able to get to 15 in this matchup.
It's a price thing. He's a lock for 8 to 10 targets. I mean, an absolute just stone lock. And he's 3,500.
I wouldn't say a lock to get there, because, but like, okay, then here's why. Because I can easily get leverage on the field if they're gonna be playing him at 40% rate, because Hunter Henry exists, right? Who's $3,900 or $3,800, excuse me, who just came off a game where he saw 9 targets and looks like they're number one. Their number target, Jalen Polk.
But
out.
You're praying that Henry Jalen gets Polk nine targets out. Again. Jalen I Polk. Know that Kate Otten is getting nine targets again.
I would never say ever.
I'm just telling.
I know that's going to happen.
Like Kev, so I listen. I'm
so give me Bowers. Give me McBride. David Njoku I'm is cool a with smash up. Play. Right?
If you're going to pay up, I'm cool with that.
And I'm perfectly fine. Evan Engram is 5K in a great spot.
Still $1,500 more.
I don't care. Like
I'm just telling you.
If Otten's going to be 40%, then I know I'm
going to be. He's going to be. Guys. He might be higher than that.
which is just hilarious to me though, Kev, is like we spend an hour and 10 minutes of talking about the slate and talking about the good plays to pay up at quarterback. The good place to play up at running back, the good place to play at receiver. And you're asking questions the whole time about how do we get to play these guys that we want to play. And here is one that's staring dead in the face.
I was talking about like paying up for like a Jamar Chase who's 8,500. Like the most expensive tight end is 6,100. Brock Bowers is seeing wide receiver one type of target share, right? And so he's the only guy there. Like we talk about that, but he's actually good at football. Like my problem with Otten is if he's going to be 50-60% owned, right?
He will be.
That's the problem. Then I will just get easy leverage off that because when he goes out there and puts up four fantasy points, and everyone's like, and I know I'm going to hear it's very much it's going to be the Mike Davis corollary again from years ago. We had this discussion, right?
Mike Davis. And next week, he loves to bring that up. Who actually got there?
That's going
to
be. And I'm going to hear it next week. No, he was still a great play just because of his price. And I'm like, no,
he was.
Yeah, he was on winners.
Hey, he was min price.
He was on winners.
He was terrible. He scored like nine or whatever. I was like 8 or 9 fantasy points.
He was on the winner.
But I'm just saying, there's other places at wide receiver that I feel way better about than playing Kate Otten. If he's going to be 40 or 50, 60, 60% of.
No, that's fine, Kev, but I guess my point, like, when you're talking this whole time, I'm thinking, like, you're going to be jamming in these studs, right? You're playing Tyreek Hill. If you want to play, you know, Chase and another high-priced wide receiver, even if it's in the 6K range. Like,
no, I said I want to pay T Higgins, but yeah.
T Higgins, but unless you play Jameis, you're not getting to Bowers.
You guys talked about wanting to play Jamar Chase and all this stuff. I was bringing it up the point of, hey, how are we going to do this? It wasn't this is what I'm saying. I was asking a simple question, but all I'm saying is I am not going to play Kate Otten at $3,500. Like, I don't care. Like, the chance of him seeing double-digit targets, I think, is less than...
If you're not going to play him, Kev, that's fine, but don't be out here throwing out egregious takes that Bowers has a higher chance to get to 30 than Otten does at sniffing 12 to 15 points. Like,
well, I didn't say, I said 15. Don't see, there you go again, trying to gaslight me.
15 points.
How many times in his career has he scored higher than 15 points?
How many times in his career has he played without the two top pass catchers in his offense?
That's right.
I don't care.
The two guys are
he said, gone. I don't care.
I guess I shouldn't have said 30 because Bowers hasn't hit 30 either. So that's not really fair. But Bowers is also a rookie. 30 was probably high. I probably should have said 20.
Play the violin. Get those excuses going. No, I'm Kev, you don't want to play Kate Otten. Totally get it. Like, get your leverage.
We just spent 10 minutes on this. All right. I'm just saying.
You need to attack the position. Like, I'm just going to talk to the people and like, it's fine. But like, you have to go into this week thinking that Cade Otten is at minimum getting 10 points. Like, that's just how I have to approach it. He's going to 3X based on his salary, based on the way that this scheme is, and based on the team that they're playing. Like, he is going to fall into 10 points in this matchup. At this price, it's just how you have to attack it. But tight end has been so gross that
tight end's been bad. It's been so bad that it's just when you take guaranteed at that value, I'm cool with it.
If he finds the end zone, that's 7 points, Kev. Like, yeah. 6 points. That's 6-7 points.
And they're playing Atlanta. It's not like they're playing, you know, Denver or something like that.
And you're just already like And that's fine. But
maybe I went a little too hard. All right, with that take. But
I mean, I get it. If it, like,
I love it.
Playing the angle of saying, you know, I will play a tight end that can get me 27 when Kate Otten gets me 12. I'm totally cool with that. But right. You know, just fading Kate Otten for the sake of, that he's going to be 40%. I just think that that's wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's more so because his name's Kate Otten.
Well, that's fair too. But if Baker Mayfield is throwing him the ball, you know,
Cotton boy, he's going to be one of the highest owned players on the slate, and it's a gross position. So automatically getting leverage there. But you're also if you're not playing Denver, if you're not playing some of these other places, if you're not playing the Tampa Bay wide receivers, like, you're automatically getting leverage on the field, and you can just eat the Otten chalk if you want by going somewhere else.
What about Sam LaPorta?
You've been different. How can he be trusted, Kev? Like, even without Jameson Williams out there, how can he be trusted at this point in time?
I would say that is the boost to him, is Jamo not being there.
And we saw last year without putting James Williams off the field. I mean,
yeah, he can.
And we heard this week, cool, which it's coach speak. I'm not saying that this is the case, but I just think that it's hilarious that the first time that they get to address people on what the plan is that they're going to be doing with Jamo being out, the retort is that they're going to try and get Allen Robinson more involved, who we have not heard from in, you know, weeks on a meaningful
weeks. Play. You mean years?
I mean, we only get 18 in a season, Kev, for regular season DFS purposes. So yes, yeah, it's been years.
Think Tim Patrick would just play Jamo's position.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, Sam LaPorta is 4,800, Kev. I mean, that's it should probably be the tight end spot here.
Okay. The last 2 weeks, I've been on the Mark Andrews train, and I've been told by people from this podcast that you can't play Mark Andrews. And I've been right 2 weeks in a row. So just throw it out there. Maybe people should be listening to me when it comes to tight end takes. Okay.
Hey, we say names on this podcast. We say names.
The two other people that are on this podcast.
I didn't say anything about not playing Mark Andrews.
I think we could roll back the tape from last week.
Might have been me.
Roll it back. I'm playing Mark Andrews every week.
Last week because they were on primetime, but it would have been 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I played his ass on primetime too.
Tron just said Dan Arnold has a better chance to get 15 DK points than Otten. You're not wrong. Dan the man.
Oh, man.
Harry Arnold.
Who else are you looking to pivot off Otten for, Kev?
Dan Arnold. Is Dan Arnold?
All right, so how about defense?
No, but all I'll say is, like you guys said, you the initial thought was that tight end was really gross this week, and I totally disagree. I think there are multiple extremely viable options this week, and they are happy to be payoff options, but they're all in incredible spots. Like I said, Bowers, McBride, Njoku, Ingram, Kelsey to a certain point, but I'm less excited to play him just because his role is limited. But definitely Bowers, McBride, Njoku, Ingram, I think are all in play. I do think LaPorta is a little bit more thin, but he's still 4,800. We've seen it in the past, what he can do. So we'll see on that. But, you know, I think all of those guys are very, very viable options. And we can move over to defense now. But I will say when it comes to defense, it's not great. In terms of pay low.
I'm sick to my stomach, Kev, that you would mention not only tight end being favorable, but you're looking for pivots and you don't even mention your guy from last week, Mr. Grant Calcaterra, who's 3,200 and the direct pricing pivot off of Kadon.
Well, I mean, I said you might look at him, but like he also only saw one target. Like he's not. They just don't typically look for him. So like,
well, they don't.
The other guy that did mention though last week was Jatavion Sanders. I mentioned that when he was 2,600.
And they'll be without Deontay and Thielen.
Yeah,
and Tommy Trimble is really the main one that we care about there, and he's questionable. But yeah, Jatavion Sanders. But you already mentioned him, so I didn't feel the need to bring him back up. You already mentioned the guy. So that's look right. at that. Sometimes I mean, I am all over the tight end. Like again, I think I feel like I should be the tight. Like, if people want to listen, like, follow my takes when it comes to the tight ends. All right, if you want to be a sheep and just
pause, fucking
yeah. Kate Otten. Yeah, that's fine.
Hard pause.
When he gets you 4 DK points this week,
If Kate Otten is the highest scoring tight end on the slate this week, Kev, you are.
I'm not even going to be on the show next week. I'm going to be sick. You're muted
for the entire segment. Let's talk about defense as we wrap up this pod. Shout out to the DJ Nation fam who's been rocking along with us, getting the questions in the chat. Again, whether they're redraft or DFS focus, dynasty focus, it doesn't matter. We appreciate you guys rocking along with us on a Friday night. New time for the DJ Nation pod. It looks like that we'll be doing going forward for the second half of the season. We want to make sure that we have the information at our full disposal to be able to give you guys our thoughts as they shape up towards the weekend. So appreciate you guys. Again, subscribe to the channel, make sure you like the video, and get the link in the description for the Discord channel and the link in the description. We appreciate you guys rocking with us all season long. Defense, Kev, you said it's not that great, and yeah, it looks to be that way. You know, how we usually attack defenses on the show is that, you know, we look at the cheap defense, what is our lineup, what fits in, and you know, you just take the cheapest defense who's able to, you know, potentially rack up sacks and get some points, get some turnovers. You know, the problem is that most of those opportunistic defenses just so happen to be at the top. So, you know, one thing that DraftKings did this week, well, I feel like is priced the defenses appropriately. I really do like getting to the defenses that are in the mid 3K range, even potentially the Broncos defense at 3,700. There's so much value on the slate that I feel like I can take some chances on defense this week to kind of lock things in. I mean, Carolina starting Bryce Young, the names all come together, but him, Bryce Young starting is enough for me to just try and get to the 3,700 of Broncos defense, especially with Patrick Surtain expected to be back on the defensive side of the ball for them. So that's really juicy. But the Chargers too, going against New Orleans with the way that their offense is shaped up, they're 3,300. It is a short week for them, so to speak, coming off that Monday night game. But I think that's interesting. When we scroll down, you know, you got to find some diamonds in the rough, but you know, maybe there's a chance that Atlanta is able to, you know, shut out a popular Tampa Bay, you know, own team that is 2,600. The defense really hasn't been that great, but you know, there's a chance. Patriots 2,500 against the Jets, like make life rough on Aaron Rodgers. It's possible. Maddie, what are you thinking about for defense this week?
Yeah, it's Broncos at the top if I can afford them. You know, like I mentioned, when talking about the Bo Nix situation, is what if, you know, the Broncos have two fumble returns, you know, or pick six or punt return, you know, that keeps the offense off the field, which is totally possible. So, you know, the Broncos D is actually leverage off of the offensive pieces that are chalky because it keeps them off the field. I like the Chargers for 400 less at home against New Orleans. Outside of that, it gets pretty gross pretty fast. I mean, the Patriots, I guess, at home against the Jets are definitely playable. It's not a preferred option, but salary saver.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, if you want ultimate leverage, is you play Carolina's defense for min price in 2,300. If you're talking about ultimate leverage off of the Denver pieces, but I'm not going to click that button, so. I'm going to try to get to probably the Chargers or Broncos if I can. Otherwise, I'll probably just punt with New England.
Yeah, no, I think New England makes a ton of sense. I mean, Jacksonville, even at 2,300, like if I needed, you know, if there was 2,300 left and I had to play them against Green Bay with the way that Jordan Love's been turning the ball over, you know, I could maybe be talked into them. Kind of, you know, they're implied to score a lot of points, Green Bay, but if we can get some opportunities on the other side, that could be interesting. Kev, where are you at with defense this week?
Yeah, I think the Chargers, you guys already mentioned it, but I just think there's a lot of things to like about them. I mean, the Chargers have the third lowest pressure rate in the league. But the Saints offense has been pressured on 23.6% of dropbacks, which is the ninth highest rate in the league. And the Chargers have really done a really good job of turning the ball over, considering who's going to be a quarterback this week. They created a turnover on 16.4% of offensive drives, which is the seventh highest rate in the league. So whoever the quarterback's going to be, it's not going to be Derek Carr. I just think, you know, Chargers set up really nicely. The Chiefs is one you guys did mention, but I definitely have no problem playing them as well, a little bit around the same pricing as well. The Chiefs have gotten the highest pressure rate in the league at 32.6% of dropbacks, and the Raiders have allowed the fifth most sacks so far this year. So the Chiefs defense is definitely in play. And I also have Green Bay, you guys mentioned, but they have been phenomenal. They rank sixth in sacks, third in INTs, first in fumble recoveries, 24.5% pressure rates, top 12 in the league. Jacksonville has taken a sack on they have taken the eighth most sacks on the season as well. So I think Green Bay, Chiefs, Chargers, if you can get up to them, are in play. If you're wanting to pay less, especially if Jaden Daniels is out, you probably just lock button the Bears in. The Bears defense is $2,700. They have been phenomenal. We have seen Marcus Mariota can absolutely be terrible.
Yeah, I like that.
The Bears at $2,700 is just too cheap if Jaden Daniels were to miss. So
I agree.
So $2,700, I think if I was going to pay down, that's where I would look.
Works for me.
Yeah, love that call out. Let's all build right. this lineup for the people, boys, and we'll go ahead and lock in Cade Otten on this Millie lineup. We got to build the lineup for the people. Millie lineup, getting it in. Back to the $20 entry this week. So very, very happy to see that for DraftKings as they've been fluctuating past the $10 and the $20. But a fun week to build in the Millie boys. And as we always do, we got to build a lineup out for the people to let them know what our thoughts are heading into the weekend. And so as we started off here, I'm not even going to go that route. I'm going to go Derrick Henry at running back here.
Whoa.
And make it fun for us.
Well, we know Henry and Lamar go together this year, so you might as well play Lamar with him.
I was going to go James Winston. I was like, man, if you guys want to pay high price running backs, let's play James Winston. Would it make sense for leverage?
We can play Jameis. We can play Jameis. That's fine.
Okay, good. Because we're going to play David Njoku.
That's really the only reason he wanted to play.
No, Maddie. No. If we want to do this, we got to pay up. You know, we got to pay down a quarterback. He makes the most sense.
Otten in the flex.
Is this Bordeaux? We're just trying to wreck this lineup for no reason.
No, we let's go. Let's go, Judy.
Tyreek.
Breece Hall.
Da, 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 da. Let's go with. What happened?
Ooh, there's a path. I see a path.
Let's put. I'm putting in Tillman.
So we're gonna have a triple Jameis stack with Judy and Njoku.
Might need it.
I felt like we had a pretty easy path there. I didn't think we needed that. Because I mean, I feel like we could play the Bears D. We just talked about that 27, and then it leaves 49 per position.
I had Palmer in, and then that left 63, which was like Kareem Hunt.
I was trying to get up to Dobbins in the flex.
Tillman leaves 65 with the Bears D, which would be T. Higgins.
See, the only thing I don't love about Dobbins, I didn't really bring it up because I didn't feel like it was really needed to talk about. We talked about so many running backs, is they've actually lowered his usage recently, and so he's not seeing as many touches. So that would concern me a little bit, and I don't know if the Saints can really do a whole lot, and so. Be able to push them for more play volume. So that would be the only thing. I would prefer the Hunt, but it's your call, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, so I say stick with Tillman, triple stack, and play T. Higgins, or swap Tillman to Palmer and play Kareem Hunt. I'm cool with either. It's a Millie team, so.
If we have Higgins, I'd rather play Higgins in a game environment stack, so let's go with Palmer and Hunt. Which has Bears D, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's Jameis, Derrick Henry, Breece Hall, Jerry Jeudy, Tyreek Hill, Trey Palmer, David Njoku, Kareem Hunt, Bears D. I mean, that's just a Cleveland special all around because of Kareem Hunt's
trip
to Cleveland as well too. So we're gonna put it in. That uses in all the salary, and that's the Millie team for us this week, and that's gonna do it for the Week 8 main slate edition here of the DGen Nation pod powered by the Fantasy Authority. A fun one, boys. Definitely when we can, you know, still keep it at right around the 90-minute mark. You know, it's always fun, but had a great conversation with all the position players to be able to talk about with the people. And we're about halfway through the season, fellas. It's already flying by. The next time that we will chat with the people, it will be November. So just a crazy thought there.
Thanksgiving slate, not that far away.
Not that far away. Tradition unlike any other, as they say around these streets, when we start talking about the Thanksgiving slate and we start to get the
4-hour show for three games.
We get our guests to come in and chop it up with us. And we actually have an interesting slate, you know, barring that we don't that we come out of the remaining slates unscathed with any major injuries, because it has been a crazy one thus far to start the week. But as we always do, fellas, any last word for the people?
No, good luck and enjoy your 12K Otten points.
Take vitamins, just eat them no matter what. Just don't even worry about it. Just, you know, you may not like it, it may not taste good. Just pile them in. No. Just get leverage. Get leverage off of these really high priced, really bad situations, you know, or not great situations anyway, right? So
that's right. Plug in guaranteed points and find a way to get leverage anywhere. That's great, boys. I love it. Love when we talk about that. It's all fun. Hey, for the fellas that we're going to be signing off for tonight, the Godfather himself, Kevin Steele, the one and only. You can find him on Twitter and X at FantasyRat13. Maddie DFS, Maddie Gets Buckets, Maddie Knows What to Do with Your Lineups. That's Maddie D on Twitter and X at Maddie DFS. And it's me, your host. Appreciate you guys rocking along. It's Ryan Williams at RyanAlexander_W is where you can find me on Twitter and X. Fantasy Authority signing off with the DGen Nation podcast. Make sure you guys are getting to the Discord. Link is in the description. We will see you guys next week for the Week 9 slate. Until then, get that money. Peace. You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. You're a big man. I treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.